Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Hey there, Monterey Bay, Central California. It's MZ. Welcome you to hour number one of the Saturday special. Back in the saddle after last week's Yom Kippur. I was out that day for obvious reasons. Want to thank Boring Jeff for doing a wonderful job hosting the program. And so we've got a good program on real estate for the next 2 hours. We hope you'll stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
When you go to the bank to borrow money and the bank asks you what collateral you have to secure the loan, they don't want to hear about your jewelry, cars, or stamp collection. They are only interested in your real estate. Real estate. It's the only real estate. Everything else is fake estate. Why do you think they call it real estate? But the affordability of your American dream, your piece of the rock, even with record low interest rates, continues to fade, particularly in Santa Cruz and the Monterey Bay area. Why is that? Find out on the next KSCO special with Santa Cruz Association of Realtors President-elect Dan Sedenquist and Phil Tedesco, Executive Director of the same organization. Tune in this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Still Waiting for the Balloon to Burst, But It Never Does Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
In about, 13 years of doing the Saturday special, I think this is the first time we've ever done it on the subject of real estate. Why is that? How is that? Michael Olson came up with the idea a couple months ago, and he said, Z, what do you think about a Saturday special on real estate in Santa Cruz County and Monterey County? It's a great idea. Why didn't we do it before? So he set it up with a couple of guys who are pretty appropriate spokespeople. As it said in the promo, we have as our special guests today at the studio to discuss real estate, Dan Sedenquist, who's a broker associate with Bailey Properties here in Santa Cruz, and Philip Tedesco, who is the chief executive officer of the Santa Cruz Association of Realtors. Dan is about to become the president, am I right, Dan, of that organization?
Yep, January 1st.
You must be so excited.
Very much so.
So, hey, you're in one of I probably the only two businesses to be in where you can not only afford to feed your family, but maybe even get a little rich. Real estate in Santa Cruz County and Monterey Bay area.
Well, that's the perception out there, certainly.
So, but it's not that way.
There are many people in real estate that work real hard and just can't seem to figure it out.
Even these days?
Yeah.
I don't mean for that to be an ignorant question from someone who was a pretty active real estate broker in this area for at least a dozen years myself. And it just seemed to me that when the market is hot, even if you're a lousy realtor, you make a pretty darn good living. But that's not the case, huh?
You know, it's an interesting business. It is obviously straight commission, and so if you're not closing sales, you're not making money.
Sure.
And
but in a hot real estate market with record low interest rates, especially on the low end of the market, it doesn't everything that comes up for sale, I mean, get even have bidding wars, don't you, still these days?
It
especially
is
on low end properties.
It is a strong market. It truly is, and it's been kind of fun to watch this market unfold.
And it's been pretty strong for quite a while, right?
It's been strong. There are those that feel that it's the low interest rates that keep the home values propped up.
Do you think that's not the case? Or do you think that there's more to it than that?
I think there's more to it. I think the big factor here is simple supply and demand. There's just not enough housing, and there's historically been more demand than there is supply. Mm-hmm. And that's really the biggest factor on prices.
Well, I have my theory that I have advanced on the radio station over the years, probably on open mic programs or whatever, but I think it goes all the way back to Measure J in 1978. I didn't major in economics in college, but it was a major part of my major, if you will. And if I learned nothing else, I learned that the laws of supply and demand are natural laws that can't be violated. And whenever you artificially limit the supply of something, as in housing units, as in subdivision lots and so forth, but you don't figure out a way to limit the demand, the guaranteed result is certain rising housing costs, rising prices and rents and so forth.
It's absolutely true.
And so I just, as far as I know, I don't think Santa Cruz is a fraction as nice of a place as it used to be. Of course, I was born here 52 years ago, almost 53 years ago, when it was really a nice place. But it's still way nicer than most other places that you can think of, and that word has gotten out. And so as a result, more and more people, the word is out about this place, and more people want to live here, but they're not allowing more and more units to be created, for residential or commercial for that matter. So does that pretty much sum it up, and can we all go home now?
It does for me.
Yeah, I think
actually,
so too,
it is interesting. Across the county, there are certain areas where housing is being created, obviously. If you look at South County, the Watsonville area in particular, many, many new homes, new housing tracts.
Well, that's where they don't have a growth control measure. And I alluded earlier to Measure J. I should explain to the audience, for those of you who don't know, Measure J was the first growth control ordinance that was passed by the voters. I believe it was 1978, and I could be wrong about the year. I think it was the same year that Prop 13 passed, if I'm not mistaken. In any case, what the voters of the county of Santa Cruz did, now this has nothing to do with, the cities of Watsonville, Capitola, Scotts Valley, etc., only in the unincorporated areas. Measure J was passed in, I believe, 1978, and that simply provided for the supervisors to be directed to come up with a plan to manage growth so that the population growth of Santa Cruz County did not exceed the state average. Am I right? Does that pretty much...
It's actually, that was before I moved to Santa Cruz
County. Oh, okay, so you're not even aware of that.
So for me, when I hear the terms Measure J, two things come to mind. There's currently a ballot measure called Measure J that we can talk about in a little bit. Otherwise, when you hear about Measure J housing, it refers to housing that can be sold. Usually it's a proportion of each development that is dedicated to lower income housing, and each of these units can be sold to people that have certain income guidelines, and so in effect it's a subsidized housing component.
Okay.
These Measure J units are fairly rare. After a certain period of time, I believe they can revert to normal market priced housing. But at least initially, these lower income type housing units sell like hotcakes, because there's always more demand for subsidized housing than there is supply in this area.
Sure, and then after that, it would be for the low end, non subsidized housing, obviously, I guess, because there are more buyers. Phil Tedesco from the Santa Cruz Association of Realtors, what kind of statistics can you give us right now about the is this still the most expensive place to own a home in the country, or within the top three or something like that?
It's actually definitely one of the least affordable places. It is a little more expensive if you look down in Santa Barbara. They've got medians up in the close to $1 million, about $10,000 shy of $1 million is their median. In Santa Cruz, the median's down in the 640 range, which is still incredibly unaffordable when you look at it compared to the national average, which is about $190,000.
Even with these low interest rates, what does it take for the average person to get an average home in terms of income down payment?
They were looking, as of August, they ran some numbers that suggested it was in the neighborhood of $112,000 needed in income to afford the average house in California. And that house was only a $470,000 house. And when I say only, you really can't find a single-family residence in our county.
So you're probably looking at minimum $150,000 here to qualify for a minimum loan, right?
Yeah, that's what they're looking at. I mean, if you look at the standard 10% down and needing to qualify and what the percentage rate is, I think how they came up with that number.
Recently, there's been in the news a discussion of 100% financing, how it's coming, it's happening more and more, so that people don't have to worry about down payments. there are an awful lot of people who just have not been able to save any money at all just because of the cost of living.
This is Dan. We're very fortunate in Santa Cruz. There are a lot of lenders, very good skilled lenders with great loan products that really want to make loans into our housing market. It's historically a market that goes up. So these 100% finance deals, actually lenders will lend up to 107% of the purchase price, meaning that the closing costs associated with the purchase can be financed as well. This is typical of a market that consistently goes up. Lenders see it as a low-risk environment, and they're happy to do that. For that, you need good credit scores and a good income, but lenders are willing to make those loans.
And what about people who have no credit scores or not bad? If you have no credit, it's not bad credit. Am I right? But
lenders
not necessarily
want,
good credit either.
Lenders really do want to see a history of using credit products. And many lenders will help you, coach you into creating good credit scores. And that's applying for cards, paying them down, keeping them active. And any good lender will know how to create a good credit score from someone that doesn't have an active credit history.
Oh, well, so they're worth their weight in...
Lenders are very much integral to this process.
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah, but that's something that I didn't realize, that lenders can massage your credit scores or help you do that or whatever.
Lenders will coach, very much so.
Very interesting. Wow, it's this KSCO Saturday special. It's a real estate special today. If you want to chip into the conversation, give us a call at 479-1080 or 477-1340. We have guest Phil Tedesco of the Santa Cruz Association of Realtors, Inc., and Dan Siedenquist, soon to become the president of that organization. Why is real estate so expensive in Santa Cruz and Monterey counties? Well, I think the same applies to Monterey County, even though neither of you gentlemen represent Monterey County. What about this bedroom community business, you know, and the Highway 17 widening and all that business? I mean, let's get into some political discussion now, because I think that has an awful lot to do with why things are so expensive here. And some people will disagree with me that if Highway 17 had been allowed to be widened back 20-something years ago when the funds were available and when they were turned down by the people who were in charge at that time, as I understand it, we would have a different situation over here where the affordability factor would be greater. But obviously we would have more, wouldn't be as nice a place to live, and I'll certainly grant that also. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm not so sure that, you know, there's the philosophy within Santa Cruz that if you don't provide for growth, it won't happen. And I think it is just so desirable here that people will always want to live in Santa Cruz County if they can figure out how to do it. There's I alluded earlier to a Measure J ballot measure that's coming up, and that is, I think the slogan is, let's get the community moving again. And that is associated with various transportation improvements, and I think that's a key portion to the quality of life here in Santa Cruz is our transportation issues and transportation problems.
What do you see as a major transportation issue? Do you think more people are going to be taking buses or public transportation? Do you think they need to?
Potentially. I mean. Yeah. If Measure J passes, it's a half-cent sales tax for the city of Santa Cruz over the next 30 years, if I'm correct. And one of the things they're looking at doing is HOV lanes, which would allow for more public transportation as well as passages of emergency vehicles. So the idea is that it would basically no longer be just a parking lot.
HOV lanes, it's
a high occupancy vehicle. It requires more than one individual in the car.
Okay.
In the lane. So
these lanes would be built.
That would be part of the plan. And one of the things that a lot of folks think is that the half-cent sales tax is going all to highway widening, and it's probably about 60% of the monies. The rest are for all sorts of infrastructure improvements related to transportation throughout the county.
If this is a city of Santa Cruz issue, how much of our freeway on Highway 1 or Highway 17 is within the city?
The city, it's the sales tax is going to be through the city, but the benefits will be throughout the county.
Well, that's interesting. How do they do that? I never heard of such a thing.
There are two phases associated with this, as I understand it. One extends from the Fishhook area down to Aptos, and then from the next
phase. That's
where
the big problem is.
And the next phase is from Aptos down into Watsonville, and it's.
So wait a minute. So Measure J asks is a city of Santa Cruz measure only. So it asks, is that right? Voters in the city of Santa Cruz, if they want
to approve a half-cent sales tax over the next 30 years.
That only they will pay, right? That not people that in the county will pay, but it will benefit the county. I mean, people aren't going to like that, are they? I mean, they probably don't like having a half-cent increase in the sales tax for any reason, but especially for a reason that won't even benefit their city.
Well, it's going to require a two-thirds majority vote as well. 66 2/3% of the people are going to need to say yes for this to happen, so it is going to be potentially, you know, a little bit of an uphill battle. A real grassroots effort's coming out from all over the community.
I think you're being very, very liberal.
Idealistic, I think, is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, thanks. It's I don't see it's got a chance in hell of passing, you know. But why isn't there such a, why isn't it on a county ballot or a similar measure? Because it's going to benefit the county. I don't understand this. Everybody in the studio was shaking his head.
Yes. Can't answer you there.
Yeah. Shaking heads don't show on the radio. I do appreciate that.
Yes. Well, I will. Yeah. I like to clue our audience into expressions and grimaces and so forth. We do have one caller. It's Pat in Santa Cruz. So let's take Pat's phone call. Welcome him to the Saturday special. Talk about real estate. Hey, Pat.
Yeah. Hi, Michael.
Hey.
You guys are talking about whether growth will happen, whether it's invited or not. I think that is one way of stating the predicament we're in.
Just because it's such a desirable place, I think you guys would agree, right?
Absolutely. And it comes down to a question of who will our community consist of. I mean, it's probably getting away from the young families who have a hard time starting here, but you'll find more retiring folks or people who are a little further in life that have the ability to afford it. So I think you're going to see the dynamics of the community changing as we continue to be less affordable.
The problem here is that the only way growth is going to stop in Santa Cruz County, by your reckoning, is that Santa Cruz County will be less desirable than wherever the place is that somebody wants to come from. I mean, that's the only thing that's going to stop.
Or less desirable than some other place they might want to go to.
Yeah, well, it's going to be, yeah, in other words, the way you guys want to do it, the only way you're going to stop growth is to have Santa Cruz be less desirable than any other place that somebody would want to go to. I mean, that is really what you're arguing. And, of course, MZ is familiar with me, and what I argue is that...
Yeah, well, Phil's got a look of... he's a non-plussed look. I don't know. Is that the right word?
Is he rolling his eyes?
No, I'm not.
He's not rolling his eyes, but he's...
I'm not sure I agree with the premise of let's make it less desirable and perhaps people won't
come. No, I am not arguing that. And I think that nobody would...
He's saying that's what we're saying.
Nobody in their right mind would consciously articulate that, but by default, that is your position. And I think that's the position of the very liberals that you attack as well. All of you are basically ignoring the need to come to terms with the fact that if people have more kids than die, the population grows, and everything you're talking about progresses until it reaches its final conclusion, everything goes to hell.
Excuse me, Pat, but on this radio broadcast, when did you hear anybody attack a liberal point of view?
I think at some point somebody was saying that you're like the liberals, the position you're taking is like the liberals. Didn't you say that somewhere?
No, I didn't.
Did anybody in the studio hear that remark? Did anybody in the listening audience hear that remark?
Yeah, in the listening audience, you're off to call us on 477-1340.
Yeah,
we have plenty of open lines there, but the 479...
But at any rate, you guys, what I'm saying here is that... it's always assumed that we can't talk about lowering human birth rates and the need just to talk to people directly about doing that instead of beating around the bush and saying, well, they'll do it on their own.
Now,
if we
listen,
do all this
Pat,
stuff.
Just because you don't want any children's or any more children's doesn't mean that you should try to
I'm not putting a gun to anybody's head. All I'm doing is bringing the subject up. I think it's something that needs to be discussed, and it needs to be put on the front burner, because otherwise the liberals and the conservatives just argue about whether to build more housing or widen highways, and all that stuff is beside the point. If the population keeps growing, we're going to end up in hell anyways.
Well, okay, now...
The point he does bring up that is valid is that there are more... I mean, this goes back to supply and demand throughout the state. We are continually not, year after year, providing enough new housing units for the size of the population.
No, that's not my point.
It's
the population's got to stop growing. That's the point. And that the only way that happens, ultimately, is for people to have fewer kids. As long as you...
Which means
we're
have fewer
it.
Sexes. I mean, have fewer
No, I'm not against
sex.
I'm against overbreeding. You know, that's these cheap shots are the usual thing that gets brought up to defer a serious argument, and that is, if we don't talk about the need for people to stop overbreeding, then we're going to have all these problems, and they're never going to get cleared up, no matter whether liberals get their way or conservatives get their way. If we don't stop having too many kids and we don't put pressure on people to stop having too many kids, it doesn't matter who's in charge. The place is going to hell eventually.
The only way I could carry this back into the current conversation is really through supply and demand. I'm not, you know.
Yeah, well, if we what I'm talking about is reducing the demand. You're talking about increasing the supply, but that's a shell game, because eventually you run out of supply.
I'm trying to just suggest what we have the ability to be in control of, related to what we're probably.
Well,
you know.
You make a lot of money on selling off the very last parcel in Santa Cruz, because that'll be worth a fortune. So, I mean, you aren't necessarily being motivated by something.
Phil doesn't sell real estate. He represents an organization that advocates for people who do.
Yeah, Dan's the one selling the last parcel of real estate.
Splitting hairs, Michael.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, thanks for letting me have my say.
You're welcome.
I hope
thanks for calling the hair-splitting radio station. That was Pat in Santa Cruz. And we proudly split hairs on this radio station with great pride. 477-1340 is the phone number to call if you want to...
He did bring up a good point, though.
He does.
With
He's
the supply
very
and
bright
demand.
Man.
Because when we look at the state... numbers economically, I think we're in the neighborhood of 60,000 units shy year after year. So you look at the cumulative effect of that over the past 5 years, and it continues to be an increasing problem statewide, pretty much. But we're more of a microcosm of it here because we're so desirable.
And now we have an open line at 479-1080, but our next caller is going to be none other than our own Steve Hartman. Hey, Steve. Oh, wait a minute. Steve, are you there?
Boss or whatever.
Hey there. How are you doing, Steve?
I heard what... tell Pat I heard it.
Steve heard it, Pat.
I heard it. It was not liberal, but I think it had something to do with utopian view or ideological view. Anyway, Measure J. Keep in mind that we didn't want Measure B to pass either, which also required 66 2/3%. It only passed by 80 votes. 603 students voted, and 597 decided that we should pay the tax, so it passed. So I'm looking at something similar happening this time in the city of Santa Cruz. But Measure J is basically extortion by the city of Santa Cruz to get its half-cent sales tax for transportation in return for supporting the widening of Highway 1. That's what it boils down to.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, because it didn't make any sense to me. Now it does.
The other problem that we have is the amount of affordable housing that's going in to the city of Santa Cruz. You know, people depend on their rental income, and the city has just really come forth with a lot of new affordable housing. And as a result, rents have declined, and people who were counting on that mortgage, those rental incomes to pay their mortgages, are starting to get squeezed now. Because there is a lot more housing, affordable type, in the city, sponsored by these various NGOs money.
What's an NGO?
From,
non-governmental organization.
Okay.
Thank you very much. My take on this, aside from the fact, and let's not forget that water is supposed to double in costs over the next 5 years, is that they're trying to squeeze long-time residents out to force the sale of their homes so that they can roll over the amount of tax collections that they're going to be able to get off of this property. So older people who are on fixed incomes that only have X amount of dollars to spend, if they can hurt them hard enough through taxation, these people will be forced to sell and leave the community. Maybe they got into their homes for $100,000, $200,000. They're paying the 1% Prop 13 protected tax on that. But once the house sells again, they can quadruple or quintuple the amount of taxable money that they're going to get back into the community. So those are some points to think about, and I'll get off the phone and let somebody else talk.
What do you think about what Steve said, Dan and Ted? I mean, yeah.
Gee, Phil.
I'm used to it.
People call you Ted?
All the time.
Okay, good.
Peter Ted.
All right.
I think one point that Mr. Hartman brings up is concern about water in the future, and that probably is certainly one of the biggest things that's facing the county. Monterey is already going through it. Pajaro Valley has obviously got issues associated with ag versus residential use of water. And, of course, you know, UCSC keeps looking and looking for an adequate new source of water and can't seem to find it. So that's certainly going to become more and more of an issue for Santa Cruz County. In terms of, the elderly population being forced to sell their homes over something like a half-cent sales tax increase, that doesn't seem to make an awful lot of sense to me. A tax like that doesn't seem to be a particularly abusive tax when it has the potential, at least, for changing the difficult transportation situation that we have here with potential gridlock.
Dan in Watsonville, you are our next caller on the KSCO Saturday Real Estate Special. Go.
Yeah, good morning. My understanding was that Measure J is a countywide ballot initiative, is it not?
Well, the original Measure J about growth management was, but apparently this one is not.
Well, I just got a brochure for this morning. I live over here in Watsonville, and it says Measure J asked Santa Cruz County voters to consider a new half-inch sales tax.
Well, now that makes a lot more sense. So, do we know?
I mean, one of your guests this morning, he was saying that it was just the city of Santa Cruz, so I'm totally confused now.
Well, so what do we do?
I would tend to believe the brochure. Neither of us actually is a spokesperson for the Measure J. It's just that we've seen the same literature, and it looks like that's a large issue for the county. So if it says countywide, I'll believe it's countywide.
Okay, well, we just need to set the record straight here. So.
Okay,
appreciate
well,
that.
We're very appreciative that you did that. Thank you very
thank
much
you,
for
thank
calling
you.
The Saturday Special.
Bye-bye.
We have lines open at 479-1080 and 477-1340. Howard in the Santa Cruz Mountains is our next caller. Howard, you're on the air on KSCO.
Good morning. How you doing?
Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, my name is Howard. I live up on the summit up here. Anyway, concerning seniors, you could pass a rule there where that something like Proposition 13, where that if they're over 65 or whatever and they've lived in the county, you know, set up some kind of guidelines where that they are exempt from, like, property tax increase, and they could show a senior citizen card of some kind where they could get, like, a 1 cent reduce on the sales tax. However, whoever's got the money to buy the goods, so I don't care if it's 41st or downtown Santa Cruz, obviously these people are going to be paying the bill. The people that don't have the money to buy, then they're not going to be paying, but that's okay. One thing, it's obviously there's some transportation problems, especially along Highway 1, and something needs to be done about it. And I hate to see Santa Cruz turn into an L.A. I hate to see commuter systems going here where it becomes like another Berkeley or something like that. I'd love to see the integrity of the city preserved.
Well, unfortunately, though, that's why every growth control measure advanced by a city or a county in Santa Cruz passes.
Well, you have a beautiful city, you have a beautiful place, you have redwood forests, you have beaches, and if you go out out into the Central Valley or out into Utah, and people come and see your city, they say, wait, this is where I want to move, this is where I want to live, I don't know what you can do about it.
Yeah, who would want to live in Fresno?
You're right, indeed. So, what you can do is pass grandfather laws, pass laws that protect the citizens that are already there. You've got to protect these newcomers that have got big money, that are coming from out of town. Let them pay a little more in sales tax. The people that are already there, the grandfather people that have long lived in Santa Cruz, deserve a little bit of break in their taxes. That's the only way I can see. You've got to have your commuter systems such that you can get the worker people that live there can get over the hill to get to wherever they're going, but you've got to also stop it where that you don't want a bunch of people, druggies or whatever, coming in here trying to sell stuff, I don't know how you do that. You want a system that serves the people but yet doesn't permit unwanted people to come in here and start doing crazy things.
Well,
and I'm not trying to take away people's rights. I just don't want to have a situation where that, you know, little things that go on, like people that drift into San Francisco and cause trouble and then vanish out of town on some kind of a high-moving express.
Are there any realtors who oppose growth management? Probably not, because growth management is what keeps the prices way, way up.
Well, it's probably not so much.
And the commission's way, way up.
You know, it's one of those popular notions that realtors control the pricing of housing.
No, people who think that are ignorant. The buyers control the pricing, and that's it. You know, sellers don't control pricing, buyers do.
You know, realtors all live here, so of course we have the same quality of life concerns that everybody else does. We'd like to have empty freeways and lack of traffic and perfectly lovely place to live.
Yes, and so if there was a extend, you know, or intensify the existing growth management measure on the ballot, is it a correct statement to say you would probably vote for it?
Well, actually, I probably wouldn't, because I have a great deal of concern about the affordability of the housing around here.
Mm-hmm.
Philip earlier was talking about, he called our area one of the least affordable areas, and that's a term that's kicked around quite often in the media. There's a difference between most expensive and least affordable. You factor in people's ability to make a living and the wages that they earn in this area relative to the housing prices, and so it's kind of a term that's defined through wages.
I thought it was interesting, one of the points the last caller made was that the people coming into the community have all the money and could pay it could make up the difference, basically. And one of the things that's a little scary about that concept is what happens to the children and the teenagers that grew up here and really don't have any ability to stay here and are being forced to move out. I think it's that idea of, hey, if you could afford to come here, you could pick up all the extra pieces financially for the rest of the crew, since they were lucky enough to get here sooner. And I'm not sure that's really a good attitude or perception.
If that's the case, then you must be one of the people who would love to see Proposition 13, removed or revoked or whatever you... Because that's the argument of the anti-Prop 13 people. They say, hey, you know, just because I was born later, why should I have to pay 10 times more for my similar house than my next-door neighbor does?
Yep. We're also in a position where the folks that are actually serving the community aren't in a position to live here. And at what point is that no longer acceptable?
Oh,
I mean,
it's terrible.
You do the math, if you have a second-grade teacher and a policeman, combined income, they're probably just barely able.
It probably is appropriate to digress to get into that a discussion of Proposition 13 of removing it or modifying it. It really it's very interesting. It's very interesting, and that'll get the phones ringing. Not that they're not already. In fact, we've been keeping poor Jane in Santa Cruz waiting. So let's put her on. Jane, you're on the air on AM 1080 KSCO.
Hi. Just a real basic comment. I heard Patrick's comments about people having too many kids. Some of those people who do have large families listening to this kind of stuff really become upset by the fact that Santa Cruz, as many other places in the world, are tourist, have the tourist industry here. That being the case, being a prime location, you're going to get people coming in here buying their 10,000 foot or square foot homes, putting in two bodies to live there, sometimes not at all during the year. But most of the time you are going to have those families living here who are the ones that are running the industry because they do the labor. They work in the hotels, they work in the restaurants and what have you. There's not only teachers in this town, of course, they obviously belong here and are putting in their service. But Patrick has to realize that if it weren't for those families that have, you know, that, by the way, are attracted here by the developers, the same people that complain about those families are the ones that then turn around and moan and groan about the fact that they're having too many children. Patrick needs to maybe take a look at history, understand a little bit more about what goes on with the ethnic people here and where the mindset comes from and why it is that they believe in family. And, you know, take a look at that. And I just, instead of, you know, yelling and saying, you know, Patrick, whatever, just do some reading, Patrick, and maybe look a little bit closer at this community and understand that, you know, and I've been around the world everywhere. And, you know, everywhere you go, you're going to see people like those, so you may as well not turn them away. You may as well not complain about them. And by the way, I do see that a lot of American people are going down across the border and buying up property there. And so now where are those people going to go? Are they going to send them back here because they don't want this property now? I mean, it's, you know, I could go on and on, but Patrick, do a little bit of reading. And
Jane,
little...
you should run for city council.
Well, thank you for the compliment.
Okay. And thanks for calling the Saturday special.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Now, our next caller, by the way, if you want to call us, our phone numbers are 479-1080 or 477-1340. If you want to email me, and I will watch the computer for emails, it's mz@ksco.com. You can email me anytime. I'm usually pretty good about answering emails, assuming it doesn't. Don't talk about Viagra or anything like that in your email because the spam filter will pick it up and then I'll never see it, you know. Or you know what not to say in your email. The only reason I wouldn't answer your email is if I got so many of them, like Bill O'Reilly, for example, that there's no humanly possible way. And, you know, much as I'd like to believe KSCO is at least headed in that direction, we're not there yet. So, love to hear from you via email. And also, if you want to call our comment line to tell us how to run the radio station, that number is 429-2222. And when you leave a message there, it will be magically transformed into a email that will come right to me. And I will hear it in your voice through the magic of cyberspace. While we're on the subject of computers and cyberspace and the website, I want to direct you all to our fabulous new and improved dynamic website, ksco.com. Actually, it's www.ksco.com. If you go there now and click on the lovely picture of three homes on a bluff overlooking water, a surprise will come up. Yes, a wonderful surprise. So be sure to do that. Also, if you want to be sent a special link to a video that's about 2.5 minutes long, if you click on it and you have a high-speed connection like a DSL, some sort of a broadband connection, DSL or a T1 or cable modem or whatever, a dial-up won't work, I don't think, for you to be able to see this video, but if you do have a broadband, send me an email, mz@ksco.com, and say, hey, send me that link to the video you talked about, if you want to be somewhat entertained and amused. It's 11:15, hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special. We're going to take a short commercial break now. We hope you will stay with us, because there's a lot more coming up, including callers Billy and caller Jim in Monterey, and more callers, 479-1080, 477-1340. It's the Real Estate Special. Stay with us.
Life is a journey, so take more of them. Did you know you can travel 1,000 miles for less than $250, including room and board? But wait, RVs of Meriden Scotts Valley now has a motorhome that gets 22 miles per gallon. That's right, it's the new MB Cruiser with a Mercedes turbo diesel engine, 5-speed transmission, and it's fully self-contained. You can use it for work, vacation, and get a second home right off, too. The MB Cruiser is only 22 feet long, and it's beautiful. Remember, 15-year motorhome financing is still available with payments less than a new car payment. RVs of Merritt has over 4 acres of Winnebagos, Alphaseas, Weekend Warrior, Toy Haulers, Bigfoot, Forest River, National RV, Airbus, and pre-owned motorhomes, too. The sooner you have an RV, the longer you can enjoy it. Come to RVs of Merritt. Say hi and look over the 2004 closeout models now. While selection is the best, RVs of Merritt is open 9 to 6 every day. RVs of Merritt on Scotts Valley Drive, just north of Santa Cruz in Scotts Valley. You'll find the great outdoors indoors this weekend at the Giant TS Gun Show in the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds on Tully Road in San Jose. Yes, you'll find everything under the sun for the hunter, sportsman, and collector, including guns, knives, antiques, military goods, sporting goods, books, coins, ammo, jewelry, cases, safes, accessories, and much, much more. And get in on the fun of buying and selling at the Giant TS Gun Show at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds in San Jose this Saturday and Sunday, October 2nd and 3rd. Get there early for the best deals. Doors open at 9 a.m. You'll find hunting knives, all types of firearms, work knives, beautiful jewelry, sporting goods, hunting goods, safes, swords, ammo, survival books, Western art, militaria, supplies for hunters and sportsmen, and much, much more. Don't miss the Giant TS Gun Show this Saturday from 9 to 5 and Sunday from 9 to 4. Admission just $8 per person, and children under 12 get in free when accompanied by their parent or legal guardian. All state, local, and federal laws will be followed. Go for the great outdoors at the Giant TS Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds. Bobby Jones, Ken Venturi, Julie Inkster, Tiger Woods. Play where the greats have played. Pasatiempo Golf Club in Santa Cruz. Designed and built by world-renowned golf architect Alistair McKenzie in 1929. Consistently ranked in the top 100 golf courses in the United States. All of the staff and management at Pasatiempo are proud of their little piece of golfing paradise and would like to extend a special invitation for you to help them celebrate their 75th anniversary. For each round of golf you play, Pasatiempo will give you a $50 gift certificate that you can use as you please in our fine restaurants, pro shop, or golf course. That's right. Play around and Pasatiempo will treat you to $50 worth of fine dining, golf, or merchandise. This is a limited time offer and the certificate is good on your day of play. Help celebrate Pasatiempo's 75th anniversary and play where the greats have played. Pasatiempo Golf Club in Santa Cruz. Call today for 7-day advance booking. 459-9115.
It must be, it has to be, with that big sound it's gotta be KSCO.
And welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. 10 minutes remaining thereof. We're talking about real estate in our area with Dan Sedenquist, future president of the Santa Cruz Association of Realtors, and Phil Tedesco, RCECAE, Chief Executive Officer of the Santa Cruz Association of Realtors, right here on our stage. Hey, that last commercial from Pasatiempo, I mean, how many of you have lived here forever and don't even realize this fabulous world-class golf course that we have right under our noses, or right under our feet, I guess would be more correct. You should go up and check out Pasatiempo. Yeah, it's a pretty cool place, actually. Definitely, definitely. Nice to have them on board as an advertiser here at your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Give us a call to talk about real estate. 477-1340 is the phone number to use, because we have wide open lines there, but they're jammed on 479-1080. So let's take Jim's call in Monterey. Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, Mike. How's it going?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm all right. Hey, I just wanted to concur with Jane. You know, Pat, he's constantly harping on the population growth. However, he also harps continually on the illegal immigrant population. And
at least,
you know,
he's an equal opportunity harper.
Yeah, you got to realize that labor has to come from somewhere. It doesn't things don't get done You know, one person can only do so much.
And during the break, Dan Sedenquist was disturbed by Pat also. We were talking about that. I mean, what were you saying? I mean, you didn't know how to respond to him. I mean, it's just sort of like out of the blue, no matter what the discussion is, he will try to turn it to the importance of controlling population. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jim, but hold on just a second. I want Dan to...
What I've noticed is I think Santa Cruz is a net migration out county right now. There are more people leaving than they are coming in.
Yeah, because of the prices, right?
Because of prices, because of, you know, lack of jobs, you know, issues like that, perhaps. I don't know that we really do have such a population problem, particularly in Santa Cruz County.
Yeah. See, Pat, take that. Okay, go ahead, Jim.
Right. Well, I think the solution to the population problem is efficiency. You want more efficient people, and I don't know why Monterey. You know, nobody wants Monterey and Santa Cruz to become like L.A. That's the old mantra. We don't want it to become like L.A. Nobody does. Why don't we just admit it and say why don't we just admit it and quit lying and just say we don't want growth. That's what we don't want. We don't want growth.
Well, I think they have said that.
It's not that we can't come up with the water. It's not that we can't build the freeways. It's not that we can't do any of this stuff. It's just that we like the small town effect, and that's the way we want it to stay.
Well, Jim, you've got a point. There's no question about it.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you for making it here on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Who's next? A listener would like a short bio for each of your guests. Where they are from, their education, their private... Well, never mind. Forget about the last part. Where are you from? Where are you from, Dan?
I'm originally from... I was born in a small town in Cody, called Cody, Wyoming. So I'm originally from a ranching agricultural background. I grew up in Southern California. I have bachelor's and master's degrees in geology, and that I find is still my most interesting hobby.
Were you ever planning a career in geology?
I was 10 years in the oil business prior to moving to Santa Cruz.
Oh.
And became an environmental consultant thereafter, and then started selling real estate back in 1986.
Uh-huh.
I mean, moved here in 1986, started selling real estate in 1995.
Oh, okay. And so for the 8 or 9 years that you were here prior to starting to sell real estate, were you doing this environmental consulting or?
The bulk of that, yeah, there was... time spent banking and then environmental consulting.
Why didn't you want to continue? I would imagine that would be a very big business now, environmental consulting, but not as big as real estate.
There was a lot of travel. I was constantly gone. I was out of the area, and uh-huh. my kids were growing up without me, so uh-huh. I thought I would spend more time close to home.
Right.
And I've always been interested in real estate. I enjoy it. I enjoy the business of putting people in houses. Uh-huh. It's a thrill for me.
When I was pretty active in real estate, I noticed that there were a few practicing realtors who did a lot of real estate investing themselves, but most of them didn't. I mean, probably most of them owned their own houses, but that was about it. How is it now? Because I've been out of it for a while. Do a lot of people like yourself who make their living from brokering, you know, handling transactions for buyers and sellers, also do a lot of investing in real estate as opposed to other forms of investment?
Absolutely. We give advice all day, every day, about the wisdom of buying real estate, particularly here in Santa Cruz. So, we do our own investing as much as we can afford.
All right. Okay, Phil Tedesco, tell us about your background a little bit, please.
All right. I grew up in eastern Long Island, New York, so you might pick up a little bit of an accent.
Near Islip, I mean Islip.
That is the local airport, but that's not exactly where I grew up. I haven't been living in New York since the late 80s. I've got an undergraduate and graduate degree as well, journalism, marketing background, and really a background in association management for the past 13, 14 years.
Cool. How'd you land in Santa Cruz?
Basically for this position, running this association of realtors. I was I was with a much larger association down in Greater Miami. I moved recently from Florida, so it was a little bit of a culture shock.
But you were able to escape Ivan.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't be happier to sell my home in Miami when I did, under the circumstances. Uh-huh. So it's interesting hearing some of these perspectives because, you know, we sold a wonderful house in Florida for $180,000. It was the highest comp in the neighborhood. So coming into this area...
What would a comparable house sell for here?
Oh, geez. My biggest fantasy is to move the house I had in Miami to Santa Cruz. It would probably be... I don't know, $950,000, I'd guess, if I had the land I had in Miami. Uh-huh. So we went continually backwards from Florida here in terms of house. So I am pretty much the poster child of how unaffordable it is here and what kind of adjustment. So it's interesting. Like I said, I think that one hit close to home when the one individual mentioned, hey, if you're coming here, you can afford it and pick up the difference, because it's not the case.
Uh-huh. Yeah, oh, I'm sure. Very interesting. 3 minutes, 3 and a half before 11 a.m., hour number one of the KSCO Real Estate Special. We'd like to hear from you, 479-1080 or 477-1340 or mz@ksco.com. Or if you want to use that antiquated technology called facsimile, I suppose we still have one of those dinosaurs connected to a phone line, 475-2967 if you want to send us a fax. Let's see. I was going to say, I know that there's got to be a ton of real estate investor types listening to this broadcast. And I think it's interesting that I don't think we've heard from one of them. I would like to hear from one or two or three or six, because I think real estate investors who generally quietly go around getting rich should have some nice little things to contribute to a program like this. So if you're a real estate investor, give us a call. Even if you never called or planned on it, if you have something to contribute, we'd like to hear your wisdom. Go ahead, 479-1080, 477-1340. We've got plenty of callers already. In fact, let's go back to the phone lines. Glenn in La Selva. Hey, Glenn in La Selva.
Hi, can you hear me?
Very well.
Yes, I have another perspective. First of all, born and raised in Watsonville, living in Santa Cruz County all my life, so I've seen...
Oh, you're that Glenn.
Yes, uh-huh. And I'm in the industry, so I know, have a little bit of perspective on what I see happening. And presently, in terms of what happened last year in the market, which, you know, is continually going up for the last 5 years, I see presently a drop, slight drop in the market. But some of the issues that I thought were not addressed were in terms of the things that are driving housing prices, and I just mentioned briefly. One of the things that's happening in Watsonville is that there is an explosion of growth, has already been mentioned, but it's in such a way that they're taking the density for that area and just packing houses on top of houses. Now, by that I mean, if you buy a 2,600 square foot house, the lot size is so much you only have like 10 feet from the back of your house to the fence line. It's atrocious. I mean, it's atrocious. If you went out East Lake Avenue, you'd get a prime example of this. There are other areas, too. But so I see density as opposed to what's happening in the county, because I'm also currently building in the county. And that is a nightmare.
Are you a builder, or are you building for yourself?
I'm building for my my daughter right now.
Uh-huh.
But I live in the county, and we're building I think it's AB 1668, the second unit availability. Now, when that statute came out, I jumped on it. I said, all right, here it is. We take out discretionary portion of building in the county. We get a second unit. Well, it's been a nightmare because the county has added some its own layers in regards to building. That portion of it, that the county mentality in terms of building, and what is driving construction prices now, there's also an explosion of building in China. Our lumber, a majority, a
hey,
lot
Glenn,
of...
Hey, Glenn, I really want to hear what you have to say, but we're getting right up to the news here. We will hold you over, so stay tuned. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville. Here's the news back in 6 minutes.
USA Radio Network.
With your host, MZ, stay tuned.
I'm shocked and horrified.
What's that?
Well, what's going on is, you know, I'm supposed to play the hour two open. And it's not here. all that's here is the That's All folks, and then there's the That's All folks after. So, you know, I don't think the audience will mind if you tell me where I might be able to find, or is it better for you to just come in here and do it? Or is it better for you to just play it there? Do you have the hour to open that you can put your hands on real adeptly there? Good, thank you. Good.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I had to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
I'm very, very excited because finally today we're finding out why real estate is so damned expensive in this part of the world. See? Aren't you pleased? See, aren't you pleased?
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And before we were so rudely interrupted by the news, we were talking to Glenn in La Selva, California. Hey, they stopped calling it La Selva Beach. Is that because they didn't want people coming and using the beach? Is that what happened, Glenn?
I don't know.
When you drive past the freeway, you know, the La Selva Beach exit, it says Marmonte Avenue, La Selva. It's like they dropped the beach.
They figure they can't afford to live on the beach. They can afford to use it, but there's so many lawsuits in regards to people using private pathways down to the beach. They still want them coming down, probably.
I gotcha. Anyhow, before the news alligator here chomped on us, you were making a point about why.
I was at one point in time talking about how there were a multitude, really, of factors that affect real estate prices. Yes, interest rates, the low interest rates we've had, are certainly one, but we have them here, and low interest rates are in other parts of the country, and you don't have the dynamic increase in prices that you have here in other parts of the country. So the other factor would be, yes, we have a nice area, but part of what's happening, and I was talking about the layers of restrictions in terms of building in the county, et cetera. If you're building in the county, you have to go through a number of restrictions to build. That drives up the price of the property. And then I was indicating the...
Big time.
Then I was indicating the changes of prices for just the raw materials to build a house, what's happening in China, the explosion of the construction there, and the amount of lumber that's going into China today.
From here?
From United States. The last
I didn't realize that. So we do have some exporting going on to China.
The last indication was that...
Instead of all the other way around.
Well, let me just indicate. The last indication in Wall Street Journal was the cost of plywood has tripled over the last number of years in regards to the... In direct correlation with the amount of lumber that we're sending in to China. And I see it now in regards to the house I'm building out here as to the prices that as they are going up. But you have... All of those factors are related to the cost of housing here. I mentioned the high density that is happening in the very city municipalities. The cities are being, at least in Watsonville, because of the land availability there, they're just being jammed. Houses are being jammed onto these small lots, multiple housing on small parcels. And in fact, the city of Santa Cruz is doing the same thing. I mean,
Glenn, does your last name begin with K?
No.
Okay, so you're not the Glenn I thought you might be.
Anyway, City of Santa Cruz is doing the same thing. If you look, drive through Santa Cruz, you will see the plethora of houses that are being built, you know, on...
Yeah, houses that are much too big for their lots. So.
Right, yeah, so anyways, the number of houses, et cetera. And that is, hopefully...
Well, you got an expensive lot, even if it's small, you got to have an expensive house. I mean, another economic reality.
So, all of those put together, but I was... specifically concerned about county restrictions in terms of building in the county and the price of a lumber itself, that those costs that are going up, and the global economy affects us all. I mean, my God, the price of Starbucks coffee is going to go up based on the...
Oh, no, not that.
Oh, yes. So we have issues that globally, I mean, look at where we're at in Iraq in terms of the money we're sticking into Iraq. You don't think that's going to affect the cost of our money here? So... I'm concerned about all of those factors. So
And when that happens, the price of real estate is going to go down, if not plummet.
Well, my main point is this. Not my main point, but a major point would be what we do at the polls, I think people should vote. I just want people to be encouraged to go out and vote. You know, this election.
Now, for whom do you want them to vote?
I don't want them to, I'm not going to give them my choice. I want them to make an informed decision based on everything they have seen.
You seem to be an intelligent person, though. Is it too personal a question to ask whom you are going
to
vote for?
I'll give you my answer.
Okay.
I look at Kerry, when I first saw Kerry, I thought, you know, he reminds me of the Martin Sheen in Dead Zone with Christopher Walken. You know, that president that was putting his hand on the nuclear bomb at the
yes,
end of that.
Right.
I mean, he was ready to hit the button to send up the rockets in Dead Zone. And I was really scared about the way I saw Mr. Kerry present himself. But in looking at President Bush, I am concerned about where we're at in Iraq. I am concerned about our longevity in that country, our ability to change a country which has multitudes of religions that are not ours, a democracy issue that, you know, we live in democracy, we live in God's country, and, you know, God bless America. I love the opportunities I have in America. And there are people who don't have those opportunities in other countries, but my God, we have North Korea.
Coming here to get us.
We have North Korea. We have other countries that have problems. We're not going to invade those, are we? Just because they made a problem to peace, are we going to invade North Korea? I mean, are we going to invade these countries?
Okay.
So, in any event,
I know who you're voting for.
So. Well, no, I don't either.
You don't?
At this point.
You haven't decided?
No, here's my deal.
Oh.
My feeling on this is that George Bush will win the election unless, from now, between now and the time of the election, there's a major terrorist act which has a negative effect on American lives. If there is not a major terrorist effect that has a major effect on American lives, I believe George Bush will get in. If there is this major attack, I think the people that are hearing that we have a safer country, we have a safer world, etc., are going to turn and vote for Kerry. They're going to say, it didn't work. Notwithstanding, you know, there may, you know, I'm just saying, you live in a commercial world now. You know, it's your time to make a statement is very short, 15 minutes of fame. And that's what happens with the input.
Voters. Oh, I think you mean we live in a soundbite world.
You're in that world definitely with radio, etc. And I appreciate the forums you've given to people to talk, to come on. And I won a number of tickets on your program too, so I appreciate that. program. But anyway,
So are you in a business?
Yes, I'm a broker, attorney, and I'm in the industry.
What kind of broker? Real estate broker?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Uh-huh.
And I'm in the industry, and so I've seen it. The figure I give you in terms of the slight drop in the market is based on real figures that I have
right. Access. And I remember shortly after acquiring the radio station, I was pretty active as a real estate broker even back then. I noticed that that there was a significant price drop, maybe 15, almost 20% in 90 from between 91 and say 93 and a half, 94.
Yeah, I think things shaped in 95, 96. I think the tick started going 95, 96. If you were in real estate at that time and you were able to hold on to your property, make your mortgage payments, you could make a killing. But a lot of people in real estate back in the 90s, etc., had negative cash flows, couldn't hold all that property, and lost it. Either they had to sell it, it went into foreclosure, whatever.
Yeah, that's going to happen again. It's all very cyclical. It's going to happen when the interest rates go up. You know.
And I was involved in that, so I've seen the cyclical nature of this industry. But, hey, thanks for the program, Mike. I just wanted to...
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate your cogent contribution to it. Thanks.
But anyway, thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. There goes Glenn in La Selva. Here comes Billy. Yes, Billy Sunshine. Somebody, after yesterday's program, someone said that you should change your name to Billy Moonshine.
Because?
I don't know.
People say a lot of things after I'm on the air. That's what counts, as long as they say something.
Yes.
I just wanted to respond to all these interesting things you're talking about today. And let me begin by just speaking to the woman who called before about having lots of kids. I, too, have traveled the world, and the countries that are in the biggest backwards way are the ones that have too many children. When you control the amount of children you have, women get education, and civilization grows. So let's just move on from there. Hey, Pasatiempo?
Yes, Pasatiempo.
Fantastic. What a great place to play golf. A true, total pleasure.
I didn't know you were a golfer.
I'm a very bad golfer.
Oh.
Yeah.
But it's a good place for even bad golfers.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, total pleasure. Okay, now let's talk about the experience I've had as a real estate investor. I moved here 5 years ago, something like that. And, you know, when I chose this place, I made decisions about, because I had never lived here. I actually had lived in the Bay Area. My wife worked for Intel.
Did you buy more than just your home?
No.
Oh, okay.
And that's the point I'm going to make. Good point, Mike. So the thing is, I decided that my next home might not be my last home, but I wanted to take advantage of the realities of demographics to make a good decision. So I went from having a $300,000 home in Granite Bay in Sacramento, and I decided where would the best place in the world to invest now. I had a little extra money. I wanted to make some money. And I said to myself, well, the richest place in the world is Silicon Valley, and probably the closest vacation-type home, the closest oceanfront home to Silicon Valley will be the single best investment I can make. I invested a home. I bought a home in Capitola on the oceanfront there, $1 million. Three times what I had spent previously in a house. I had to step up and take a chance, but it made sense. Now, I sold that home 4 years later for $2 million. I made $1 million. It's the second best decision I ever made after marrying my wife. You know, I didn't intend to necessarily sell that home, but I was in a financial strait where it made sense, and I needed to bank that $1 million. Now, it so happens that the bubble is over, and here's how I know. I just bought my next home in Capitola, and I close on the 8th, and that means the bubble is over. You know, Michael, you pointed out...
I get it.
It's so true.
Right.
You pointed out something absolutely correct, that the housing market in California suffered in 1991. And that makes sense, because what happened is we had a huge stock market crash in 89, and all the phony money disappeared in a month from the stock market. Because, after all, in the stock market, there's nothing real about it. In real estate, because it's real, because we live in it, it took another 3 years for the market to start to go down. Well, that would be happening now here, except for one thing that's really key. All of us investor types were deep, deep into the stock market, making a lot of money. And then the stock market blew up again, and this time when it blew up, we found out it was also about fraud on a massive scale. Every day I get another letter about some court case that I'm in, whether I want to or not, because I've gotten ripped off by another CEO. So what I learned as a real estate investor and as a stock investor was, you know, real estate, they can't cheat you out of. And so all of us who normally would be investing in the stock market...
It's the only real estate.
It's the only place where you control somewhat your destiny. And as a result, we've got these artificially high prices here because all that money that had gone into the market, and, you know, the demographics towards vacation homes are where it's at.
Billy, you're talking about, maybe I shouldn't do this, but why not? Because it's relevant. You talk about waterfront properties and having done very well.
Yes, sir.
I've always wanted to buy waterfront properties, and I could buy waterfront properties here in Santa Cruz, but I have discovered a place called Point Richmond. You heard me running some ads months ago. I stopped doing it, but up there, which is Point Richmond, is a sweet little community that doesn't even have a traffic light. It reminds me of Santa Cruz in the 50s,
where?
The early 50s.
Where exactly is it?
It's about 10 minutes northwest of Berkeley.
Okay.
When you're driving past Berkeley on Interstate 80 east, you know, you go past University and then Gilman, and then the next one is the Albany exit. Right there is the exit for the 580 West Freeway.
Towards the bridge.
Exactly. You go toward the bridge, but if you cross the bridge, you've gone too far. It's really the last exit before the bridge. It's called Point Richmond. It's a hidden city. It's a little jewel. And places that are on the water right there, that similar places here in Santa Cruz County would go for $5-6 million in 30 seconds from the time they're put on the market.
How long ago did you buy?
I've been buying over the last couple of years. Actually.
Well, when you first bought, what did you pay for your property?
$1,150,000.
And now?
It's not a whole lot more than that, but it's going to be as soon as people discover, hopefully as a result of this broadcast.
We're working it.
You slimy swirling you. Anyhow, I really believe the best advice I could give anybody is throw a rock up in the sky anywhere in Santa Cruz or the San Francisco Bay Area, particularly Point Richmond, because that place is really underpriced. It's a sweet little quiet town, 10 minutes from anything, and it doesn't matter whether you buy something on the water or something with an incredible view for $550,000. The same thing here would be $1 million, you know? It's wherever the rock lands, buy it. You're going to do very, very well. Anyhow.
Exactly. You know, in this area, the combination, as I said, of being as close to the place where they make a millionaire every hour, and then taking advantage of this fantastic weather that we have here in Santa Cruz, we all need to consider being real estate investors and not think that because we bought our home...
And you don't have to be able to afford million-dollar properties. You could be an entry-level investor.
Yes.
And so that's why I asked you when you called, did you buy something in addition to your home? So you're one of the people who considers a home an investment, which many people do. If you read a book like, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki's book, he says the home is not an investment. The home is a home, you know, and other things are investments.
But. The fact is, it is what it is. And for me, it was a wonderful home. I got to live on the ocean, feel like a king, and made $1 million.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's so bad? Now, admittedly, my new home is not on the ocean. I'm now on the river. So if I have to move again, I hope this is my last home, I'll probably be next to a sewer. But
what? So you're on the river in Capitola then?
I'm on Riverview. I just bought a house on Riverview. And, you know,
what did that one cost?
Just $980,000, just under $1 million. Uh-huh. So I spent the same amount of money, and now I don't have an ocean view. But you know what I do have there? And this is, again, how you buy right. When I'm in my backyard, I'm not aware of this density we talk about. Here I am, 6 blocks from the bottom of the village, and yet I don't see either house. When I look across that river, all I see are trees. It's as if you're in the woods.
I think it's a better place. I haven't seen your place, but I saw your other place, and you had to look across a street. It wasn't a very used street, but it was a street, you know, before you saw the ocean. So
No, that's not true. My ocean was.
You're right. Yeah, the street had fallen off in front of your place.
Exactly.
Right.
The street was gone. It used to be called Grand Avenue and no longer there.
Right. Okay. Well, happy you're a believer. Listen, do you believe in my promo?
The point being which?
Well, I mean, why do you think they call it real estate?
Exactly.
Whoever says that, but I think it's right on.
Exactly.
You want to hear it again?
But you are correct.
I want to hear it again.
You want to hear it again.
Yeah, I do.
When you go to the bank to borrow money and the bank asks you what collateral you have to secure the loan, they don't want to hear about your jewelry, cars, or stamp collection. They are only interested in your real estate. Real estate. It's the only real estate. Everything else is fake estate. Why do you think they call it real estate? But the affordability of your American dream, your piece of the rock, even with record low interest rates, continues to fade, particularly in Santa Cruz and the Monterey Bay area. Why is that? Find out on the next KSCO special with Santa Cruz Association of Realtors President-elect Dan Seidenquist and Phil Tedesco, Executive Director of the same organization. Tune in this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Still Waiting for the Balloon to Burst, But It Never Does Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
You know what's really neat? I was able to produce that, to write and produce that promo from my place up there in the Bay Area, and zap it through the internet right into the computer here and call them up and say, start playing it every hour. Isn't technology amazing?
And that's a good point, because that is amazing. And you did it with software and hardware that has gotten so much cheaper than when it started. It used to be when you wanted to edit something, you used to need a $100,000 suite, in TV editing anyway.
Yeah.
Now you can do it with a $250 program. While all these things are getting cheaper, real estate is getting way more expensive.
Yeah.
At some point, something's got to give.
I know. So we better get out of it while the getting's good, huh, Bill?
Well, that's what I thought about the $2 million property. But you know what? I bet that property's worth $2.25 today.
Oh, at least three or four. Yeah, you really blew it by selling that.
I blew it.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
You bet.
See ya. Bye. We have open lines at 479-1080 or 477-1340.
Yeah, what about, oh, we do have a caller here that we has been waiting a long time. Dean, didn't mean to forget about you. Thanks for waiting. You're on the Saturday special.
Oh, it's getting pretty lonely out over here.
Okay, good. Well, here you're on the air. Bless you for waiting.
Well, you know, I heard a caller briefly touch upon illegal immigration, and I don't really understand why that's not a relevant case, and not just necessarily illegal immigration, but, you know, since we've had the most liberal policy on immigration in the last 10 years, I don't see how that doesn't affect the affordability of real estate in a very profound way.
Did some music just creep into the broadcast from your end? I just heard some music.
That was my computer. That was Microsoft talking there.
Thank God, boy, because I was starting to think that the whole radio station was going down on me here. So, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I have some concerns about that, to be honest, because I'm not in a position where I can afford a house or even really am close to it. And I don't see this problem, you know, let me rephrase that. I won't even call it a problem. I'll call it a situation. The last 10 years, we've had the most liberal immigration policy, legal and illegal, in our lifetimes. And usually, in America's history, it tends to go back and forth, where there's a very permissive policy, and then there's almost like a reaction to it. And immigration tightens up. That doesn't seem to happen in a very politically correct, very liberal environment in this state, and to me, in the country as a whole. I don't think that, you know, people even feel comfortable on the air. I don't think either of you gentlemen would even feel comfortable being in any way negative towards immigration because of a, you know.
Go ahead. Be negative towards immigration, either one of you. Prove that Dean is wrong.
I think Dan's up for the challenge.
You know, honestly, I don't think immigration, illegal or otherwise, is a problem. I think it enriches the country, and I'm proud that we've all been immigrants or our grandparents were immigrants.
Okay, well, legal or illegal, I would take issue with you about illegal, but, I mean, certainly legal immigration is what made this country what it is. That illegal immigration clearly is destroying this country, clearly.
I mean, well, you know what, I'm glad that you have that opinion because I didn't think I would hear that from you. But there's also another issue that I wanted.
You haven't been listening to this station very much, you know, because I say that a lot, don't I?
I didn't think that anybody in Santa Cruz had the nerve to say that, to be honest. But there's another thing, too, in regards to this, and I was wondering what you gentlemen felt about this. There is talk about just simply having open borders with Mexico in 10 years. That's coming from, you know, certain people in Mexico.
Got news for you. We essentially have it now.
Well, we don't literally have it, and that's a big difference. And I think that what it appears to me is that inevitably, probably in our lifetimes, at least within this century, there are going to be open borders. Now, how is that going to affect me or, since I cannot afford a home, my children, grandchildren? How is that going to affect their quality of life if we just simply remove the border and it's a free-for-all? Anybody can come here and, you know, and I can respect and appreciate you saying how immigration has made this country great, but I don't think it's realistic when you talk about just completely removing the border and saying, hey, anybody can come and go as they please.
I want to ask you some questions, if you don't mind. How long have you lived here? How'd you find Santa Cruz?
I'm originally from San Jose.
Okay.
And probably in the last few years, I rediscovered Santa Cruz because I always just sort of considered Santa Cruz as a beach.
Yeah.
And I didn't discover the town so much.
Right.
And
so you discovered the town within the last two or three years then?
The last few years.
Okay. And when you say the town, is it sort of because it's a charming, you know, funky, progressive town? Or?
Well, the progressive part, well, I like the independent-minded kind of thing about it, but also in my travels, mostly throughout California, the thing I despise about new development, it's all sort of cookie-cutter real estate development.
Yeah.
And
here, right?
Well, in downtown, there's still something unique and charming about it.
Yeah. I've got to say, you know, the rebuild from the earthquake, which a lot of people thought took much longer than it should have, has resulted in a pretty nice downtown. You know, I've got a. I was one of the people who was very critical of how long it took to recover from the earthquake, because it seemed to me that people were arguing too much over minutia, like what to call the the redevelopment group or whatever, Vision Santa Cruz or something. That took like a year and a half for people to stop fighting about the name, as I recall. You know.
Right. Well, that is something that appeals to me about Santa Cruz, and the thing is that in a lot of towns, particularly with the new development, it's all the same. It's all like national franchise businesses. Everything looks the same. So I do like this area.
Okay. Now, if you would have stayed in San Jose, I dare say, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that you would not own a home there either, because it's even more unaffordable there. Am I right?
Yeah, well, to me, it's one and the same, but I would not live in San Jose because I simply don't like San Jose.
Right. What do you do for a living? Don't answer these questions if it's uncomfortable, because I know you didn't call to be grilled, but if you wouldn't mind, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I'm not going to get so much into it, but I am in sales,
but
I don't make more than $100,000 a year.
Uh-huh.
And as you were saying earlier, it would take me $150,000 a year to afford a home in Santa Cruz. And I personally am very resentful about that. I'm resentful that I can't simply be, you know, an average wage earner and have something reasonable for me and my family. I have to be in the upper tier of income just to have a house.
Yeah.
And I think it does make a difference. We're talking about supply and demand. That's what I keep hearing. And I don't really see so many people taking this seriously, that I do feel there will be open borders within this century. And I don't think it's going to make it easier for people's quality of life. I think we're going to have some very serious...
Well, it depends on if between now and when the borders become open, as you say, they most definitely will.
So. Well, I don't know that they definitely will, but there's already talk about that, and you don't... I mean,
right, well, it depends on how far we will have descended between now and then. I mean, right now... We're opening the border. We'll bring up their lifestyle and bring down ours. I'm sorry, that's the reality, folks. I'm not a racist. That's the reality, what I just said. And as long as our standards of living, are declining, theirs is coming up, there will get to a point where it's an equilibrium, and it might get to the point where their standard of living is better than ours, in which case the borders being open will be a good thing for us, not a bad thing. You see what I'm saying?
Does that make sense? It'll be a good thing for some people. It'll be a horrible thing for other people.
It'll be a good thing for everybody if our standard of living has by that time declined to a point where it is lesser than that of Mexico. I know that sounds bizarre, ladies and gentlemen, but it could happen. It really could, especially the way things are going. Pregnant silence. Contemplate that, ladies and gentlemen. It's the KSCO Saturday special. 25 minutes remain in hour number two there. Let's take a commercial break for you to contemplate that. Now, on second thought, listen to the commercials.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server co-location and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and cold fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
It's time for the Santa Cruz County Traffic Report, sponsored by Bay Federal Credit Union. How's it look up there, Sky Captain?
It looks like Car Sales City. We have major events happening at the Capitola Mall and the Register Pajarodian parking lot. Ray, why is it every time Bay Federal has their big multi-dealer car sale, they sponsor this report?
I've wondered about that, too. Bay Federal's fall auto sale is this weekend, right?
Yep, saw it on TV last night. It's this Friday afternoon through Sunday, October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Hundreds of new and used cars in two locations. They even have loan professionals on site to make car buying easy. But enough of this free airtime. This is Sky Captain reporting unknown cars and unreal excitement this weekend on 41st Avenue in Capitola and on Main Street in Watsonville. I am clearly not doing a commercial.
Thanks, Guy. You sure outfoxed them. This unreal traffic report was brought to you by Bay Federal Credit Union. Clearly, a better way to buy a car.
And that's for real.
Hi, this is Bill Graff, KSCO's production director.
Look, I could give you a lot of hoo-ha about how great our computer system is here. Bottom line is this. We have enough computers in this building that if our computers didn't work right, we'd be in a world of hurt. And our computers generally work pretty well. And when they don't, we can give a call to Dennis and the guys at Day and Night Computer, and they come over and fix them right away. We don't have to wait any time of the day or night. You know, that's nice for a business like ours that's so heavily dependent on computers and technology. Look, you can do whatever you want. My advice to you, though, is to call Dennis if you have a computer question or a computer problem, or if you just want him to build you a computer. And best of all, he'll save you time and money, and I suppose that's what it's really all about. The more money you save and the less downtime you have, the more profitable your company will be. If you don't have a company, hey, time is money at home, too. Remember that. Talk to Day and Night Computers. Call 465-7340. That's 465-7340. Do yourself a favor.
Buying a home around here is an expensive proposition. Hi, I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland. I've been helping people save money on home loans for nearly 20 years, and I'd like to help you save money on your next home purchase. Right now, Pacific Inland has special programs that are helping people save real money when they buy a home. Call Pacific Inland at 831-475-2600, and we'll tailor one of these programs to help you buy a home. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
I still say charge admission to this county. They do it on 17 Mile Drive. Why not here? We could have separate admissions to homeless land, hippie land, punk land, and gay and lesbianville. We could have street theater of the absurd where people throw hourly hissy fits on the sidewalk. We could have a politically correct parade down Pacific Avenue at noon and 6 p.m., and we could decorate downtown in Alice in Wonderland themes. Shuttle buses decorated as great electric Kool-Aid acid test hippie buses going to the wharf in UCSC. Elfland excursions and tours would be conducted hourly, and trees could be hugged for a small fee, and mushroom-shaped candy could be sold by local docents who could describe the colorful history of the university. Native, indigenous, aboriginal peoples could hold a continuous powwow at Lighthouse Field. People could enter the Quien Es Mas Politically Correcto contests, the idea being to gather one each of every variety of locally politically correct citizenry and pay them a small fee for showing up at the boardwalk in time for the contest. People who sleep on the streets in front of businesses would be considered colorful and would be paid for their services by the business owners, thus eliminating the need for local looks ordinances. We could solve all of our budgetary problems and half of our social problems by turning this county into a theme park. Graffiti would be encouraged, and enterprising young men could give lessons in the fine art of self-expression on public buildings. Tourists could also engage in graffiti art, and weekly prizes could be given out to the worst slogan sprayed over the most inappropriate location. Surfers could stage mock fights hourly with volleyball tournament contestants, and bikers could ride in defiant, helmetless protest up and down Pacific Avenue, only to crash into cleverly hidden mattresses down by the Asti Cafe. And that's the way I see it. I'm Harry Lee Curtis.
Wasn't he great? Those of you who've been listening to KSCO for a long time will know that about 10 years ago we had a great popular talk host named Harry Lee Curtis who recently passed on. We offer that as sort of a tribute to Harry, and it was an appropriate thing to do, I think, at the appropriate time. 20 minutes past before 12 noon, hour number two of the KSCO Real Estate Special, Michael Z with Dan Seidenquist and Phil Tedesco, and you, the callers. Before we go back you have something to say, Phil.
I think that the last caller brought up a good point. What he referred to the amount of money he was making and still suggested he was resentful that he couldn't buy a home. I think the reality is he probably could buy a home if he was willing to take some creative approaches to it. And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with some of the programs that are out there. It's really a gamble with some of this 100% financing. I think the trick is getting your name on some title.
Hey, Dean, it might have been the best thing you've ever done to call the KSCO Saturday Special. So why don't you call us back, probably off the air after the program. 475-1080 and talk with Dan or Phil here, and maybe they might clue you into something that you might not be aware of. They've already alluded to it here. Seriously, do it. 475-1080. Call it at noontime when they're just off the air. The next caller will be, Rory on a cell phone. I think he's on line 5. Rory, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Hey, quick question. What's the impact on the economy or on the real estate market when you have a individual or a couple that sell a home and then three families move into that same home? And I know personally of a couple of examples. Doesn't that drive up the price or sustain a higher price? I mean, it's part of the pressure, and are there ordinances that prevent that? I mean, how do you see that impacting the market? You know it's happening.
That was a huge issue in Miami. I recently came here from Miami, Florida, and what they referred to there as was illegal subdivision of single-family residences. And obviously it becomes a tax issue because the county feels like it's missing out on all sorts of money. If you're doing certain things to the home to make it accommodate multiple families, but they don't have the ability to pick up the taxes on it.
Well, it's against the ordinance, too. I mean, you're supposed to have a single family zoned. I mean, zoning ordinances, what do they mean when you've got three families in one home?
No, because then you also have the infrastructure, all the additional problems with how many cars are parked in front of the house, what it's doing to the road.
Yep.
No, that's a huge issue, and I think
that happens a lot in Watsonville. And the whole idea, and I agree with you, Michael. You know, it's absurd, this idea of open borders, because it's going to make the quality of life drop on the north side of the border, and it may raise it for some of those that are crossing over, but it would be a madhouse. And
My sense on that concept, does it really change the value of the property? I really don't see that it does. Most purchases involve a lender, and the lender will only lend on what the legal conforming use of that property is. So if it's
right,
an illegal duplex, you don't actually get credit for it being a duplex, for example.
I know, but
the house is only worth what it's worth.
Right, but people go into it. They do buy, you know, one person puts their name on the title and they take money. I don't know how they pull it off, but it happens. And there you got three families in one house. And if anything, that puts upward pressure on price because you get people in there, you know, buying that otherwise would not be able to. I would think it had some kind of a pressure. The other quick question I'll throw out for you guys, do you think I know interest rates have been low and inflation has been low, but do you think the fact that the dollar is losing buying power, is that part of the upward trend in pricing in real estate? And I'll let you guys kick that around. I'll listen to it off the air.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye, Rory. There goes Rory.
Rory, absolutely. The weakening of the dollar relative to foreign currencies will also lead to an increase in interest rates.
Giant sucking sound.
Yep, absolutely.
People being sucked into the United States for our cheap real estate prices. For them, right?
Yeah, it'll increase interest rates, which will sort of decrease the affordability of our local real estate.
And ultimately decrease the prices, too. Yep. That's the way it works, gang. Tune into your favorite radio station for answers to everything. Okay, it's 16 minutes before 12 noon. We have open lines at 477-1340, jammed lines at 479-1080. Let's go to Jim in Santa Cruz County. Welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special, Jim.
Well, thank you. I do enjoy your conversation. It's been quite stimulating. I have a question. It may not be directly in the lines that you folks are talking, but I live in the county, and my question is, what are the current trends toward people going to the county for living versus the city? And does that increase the price of homes, et cetera?
Anybody?
I'm not sure I understand your question. Could you?
Yeah, let me rephrase it perhaps. The current trends of people moving into the Santa Cruz area, are they moving more into the county versus the city because of prices of the homes in the city?
I don't think it's really a matter of pricing. It's really a matter of where can you find the house that best fits your family's needs. If you're, you know, needing four or five bedrooms and a nice piece of ground for the kid's swing set, that might be found easier out in the county.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for a townhome within walking distance of downtown, obviously that's the city. I don't think there's a particular pricing trend that we've noticed. associated with moving.
Do you folks have any source that I could go to from time to time to check on the tracking for home sales in county, in the county?
That should be easy.
Yeah, you could go to the website of the Association of Realtors. It's at www.scaor.
S-C-A-O-R.
.org.
O-R-G, uh-huh.
And on the left side, there's a navigation bar, and you click on market statistics, and it'll give you breakdowns by the month for both condominium sales as well as single-family residents.
Well, that's great. Well, I appreciate your time and your information.
We appreciate your call, so thank you, Jim. By the way, while we're talking about WWWs, www.ksco.com is our website, and if there is somebody that you wish would have heard this Saturday special, never fear, they may do so. All you have to do is log on to the website. Now, this won't happen until probably later today or tonight, where we will upload a copy of this program. We, of course, do the rerun from 10 p.m. to midnight every Saturday on KSCO, so you can just tune in and listen to it then if you want to hear it or rehear it or whatever. But if you want to listen on demand, all you need is an Internet connection. Go to our website, KSCO.com, and click on Saturday Special in the left-hand margin, and it will start playing the most recently produced Saturday Special. I think, actually, if you just go to your to any browser in the world and type in SaturdaySpecial.com, I think it'll start playing also. So anyhow, just wanted to put out that information. Phone lines are available in the home stretch here of the KSCO Saturday Real Estate Special, 479-1080 or 477-1340. It's funny, as soon as I said the 479-1080 lines were jammed before, they all people hung up. So we do have one person here who waited, and that would be Roxanne in Santa Cruz. So you're on, Roxanne. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I wanted to just sort of make a statement, but it is asking a question. Recently, we had a thing called Fall in Love with Santa Cruz Again.
Oh, what's that?
It was some sort of street thing right in the downtown that happened every Tuesday night. And it indicated to me that people had perhaps fallen out of love with Santa Cruz and we needed to do something. But what I wanted to ask is I definitely see that people are leaving. I live in the harbor. Well, I just moved out of the harbor. But the quality of life that's happening here is making millionaires sell their homes and go somewhere else. People move out of really nice areas that should be the healthiest areas in the world. For us in the harbor, the dredging every winter made us sick from the gases. It finally got intolerable. I just had to move. The people are selling their houses that overlook the beach at Twin Lakes for the same reason, because of the illnesses that they get. Our water is full of bacteria. You're supposed to have a hepatitis shot. Tourists don't know that, but you're supposed to have a hepatitis shot before you even swim in our waters. And so I'm wondering, I think I know the answer, but I'm not sure. It's still, people are still going to buy. I mean, nothing's ever going to happen that's so bad in Santa Cruz that it makes our legislators, our government people sit up, take notice, and correct the downhill slide that I see Santa Cruz on. Even traffic, living in the harbor, the county and the city end right there, you know, the one ends and one begins. There's no coordination. There wasn't one road out of the harbor this summer that wasn't full of construction. You couldn't go any way out without a 20 to 25 minute wait.
Yeah, so I just went the other way.
Well, we couldn't go the other way. We're right where, 6th, 5th Avenue in there. You can't go the other way. You can't go out towards KSCO without road work. You couldn't. And you couldn't go out 7th.
Well, thankfully, you don't have to come out to KSCO to be able to listen to it. But I know what you're saying.
Well, I'm just saying. It's just like gridlock. If I were a tourist, I would never come back. Never, never. So, but back to the property values, is that kind of stuff not going to ever matter?
What a great question. I was wondering where you were. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Dan?
This is still going to be a very desirable place relative to other places that are nearby. You know, just the physical setting alone will drive people to this area. And having lived a lot of other places around the country, this is very, very desirable. One way maybe to look at the traffic two ways. Two comments on that was investigate the www yes on Measure J and look at the arguments pro and con regarding the traffic concern. The other thing is, at least they were doing the improvements. Not all communities can afford to do improvements.
Well, most of these are big redevelopment projects, and that's a monster that has to feed itself. So I'm not impressed by that, thankfully, anyway. And it happens every summer. It happens every summer. Last summer, 7th was the same way, and Twin Lakes was the same way. I mean, it's not like it ever ends, and it's done for 10 years. So that, I guess, but I see what you're saying, and I was thinking that probably was the answer, that no matter how bad it gets here, it's still better.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for participating. There goes Roxanne in Santa Cruz. Apparently a caller is very upset with the false advertising, in quotes, on this station. Why are there jingles promoting your favorite music when it's a talk station? It's not your favorite music. Is there one jingle in our computer that talks about your favorite music? Yeah, Aaron is looking. Okay. Wait a minute. I think I've got some jingles right here. I think I have some jingles. Let's see if you can find them. You play yours first, and if I can play them, I'll play mine. Here's the Beach City Cleaners.
We asked a busy businessman why he took his clothes to Beach City Cleaners, and his answer was simple and logical. Beach City Cleaners is so conveniently located at 506 Soquel Avenue, just down the hill from the Santa Cruz Hospital. It's easy to drop off soiled clothes at their handy drive-in department on the way to work.
That's an old ad from the 1940s here on KSU. Okay, I think this is what the listener must be talking about here.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show.
Okay, am I right, anonymous upset caller? Is that what's bothering you? It's time for that wonderful record show on the talk rate. Look, let me just explain that. This is the first time we've ever gotten such a complaint in the 13 and a half years that we've had the radio station. I know it's inappropriate. I know that it's not a record show. I know it's a talk show. But it's a damn good jingle with a sexy lady's voice. I mean, it's just really cool. And there's a lot of other great ones, too. How about this one? Okay, how about this one? Okay, how about this one? See? I mean, just because we're a talk station, we shouldn't play that just because we're a talk station?
Wonderful music.
Yeah, let's not play that. It's too snoozy anyhow. Here, how about this one here?
Music, wonderful music.
You know something? I got kicked out of KSCO when I was in high school for making a fart noise. And I decided I had to own the radio station, so I couldn't get kicked off for ever making a fart noise again. You know what I'm going to say to that caller who's upset because he or she says that we're doing misleading advertising on the radio? You know what I'm going to say, right?
Raspberry?
Yeah. What is this?
Music. Wonderful music on KSCO.
Here, take that. And, you know, we got to do something when there are no callers. The caller pool dried up. And that there's only 5.5 minutes left of the radio program. You want to call in and get one more thing in on this real estate program on the KSCO special, 479-1080 or 477-1340. There is a mail. There's a mail, that an email that I got from Nick Clifford. Hey, MZ, do they think the inventory shortage of houses for sale is in part due to the increased cost of property taxes when you move to a new home? Someone who may only be paying $2,000 or $3,000 per year or less in taxes could find themselves looking at 2 or 3 times that. Hey, try 10 times. I've seen that too, as much on their new home. Surely this prevents many people from selling their homes and is reducing the amount of houses for sale and thus artificially increasing prices. You know what? I don't agree with that. Do you agree with that? I don't think that's stopping anybody from selling their homes. People just say, hey, this is a fact of life. It's a cost of living in Santa Cruz, higher taxes based on Prop 13, the 1% or 1.1%.
I think you're right, MZ. You know, that doesn't stop anybody from buying a house. It is a talking point during the purchase process, but if you want the house, you'll have to pay the tax.
Right. Okay, do we have some, it looks like we have some other callers here. So who in the world is this on line two? Hello?
Yeah, MZ, this is Ken in Carmel. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, Ken. Thanks for calling.
Well, you know, I've been in real estate since 1962. I've owned 1,650-plus properties.
Oh, my God. All this time I was talking to a very, very wealthy man, and I didn't know it.
Well, the one good thing about getting old, even though your body falls apart, is you get the mortgages paid off.
Okay.
But sometimes you have to remortgage your more than once to get all the kids through school.
Yeah. So,
but anyhow, what I've seen, and I used to do a lot of housing in Oakland, and I made homeowners out of ordinary people, including many on different types of government relief.
I knew I liked you for some reason. Go ahead.
Well, but what has happened is it's all government. It's big government when you have to go to the planning department and it takes a year to put on a deck. And then it's land use. There's plenty of land and there's plenty of water. There is absolutely no reason other than political, i.e. the Democratic Party.
That's right, to get themselves elected. And it's a great way to get elected if you're a Democrat or if you're anybody, even if you're a Republican, singing that song.
Oh.
Because people who live in beautiful places like Monterey and Carmel and Salinas, not Salinas, but Santa Cruz, I'm sorry, I know we're going to get complaints from.
No,
I didn't mean to insult Salinas. Forgive me.
Well, Michael, you've got a guy like Risley running against Farr. I mean, Risley's a terrible Republican. I thought Chuck Carter was much better.
Oh, Chuck was a wonderful man.
I mean, this guy Risley is. I won't vote for him as a Republican. But the environment is overdone. It has not been explained.
Ken, your cell phone is getting this down.
Well, you got my point, and I'm going to take a run, and if you ever want to have me on the program, test. I've been through it all in real estate.
It's Kevin Carmel. Okay, our next caller will be on line three. Who is it? Sorry, I have to turn up the volume. What's your name?
Bill.
Hi, Bill.
I was wondering, do the real estate people know how many lots of record are available to be built on, like in the city and in the county at this time?
I don't.
Roughly.
At one point I heard in the city of Capitola it was getting down in the 20 to 30 lots, but I really can't confirm that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Gee, there were other callers, but they hung up. So, hey, guess what? I guess what I'll do is thank you guys for coming down, being part of the radio program today. I only have about a minute left. Oh, here's a Mr. Zwirling. It's a fax that I was just handed. This just in from KSCO News. Mr. Zwirling, I heard that gas passing on KSCO. You are a perfect candidate for Biotic FX and Flora FX, and it's signed Doc Wallach. That must be the cereal faxer. That's something that cereal would send, I would think. Anyhow, you guys have anything to say? Could we get anything accomplished today?
Quite the eclectic audience.
Yeah.
It was interesting how we talked about pretty much everything but real estate.
No, we talked about real estate.
I'm just kidding.
But what about the bubble bursting? We can do that in the last 30 seconds. Is the bubble going to burst?
I don't see it. It's back to simple supply and demand.
So there will always be enough people with enough income to be able to afford to pay the high prices.
It goes back to what I was saying. Will the community still consist of young families? Perhaps not. But will there
so
always
demographics
be?
Demographics will change.
Oh, I think undoubtedly.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Phil Tedesco and Dan Seidenquist. Continued success to both of you, and we appreciate your participating in the Saturday special. We hope you'll continue to listen to KSCO. Yeah, hope it'll become your favorite radio station if
thank
it isn't
you.
Already.
That's all, folks.
Gee, did I hit that too soon? I have to stretch out, the legal ID to 12 seconds from the normal 2 or 3. Anyhow, this is KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville. Here's USA News at 12 noon. Stay tuned for perspectives.